All right, are you ready for the word? Good. Let's welcome everybody watching on the internet right now. Good morning, everybody, all over the country, all over the world. God bless you. Grab your Bibles, even there in your rooms or your kitchen, wherever you are. Grab your Bibles, hold those up in the air, and repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have, and I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open up my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. Go and open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Maria last week started our series, Vessels of Honor, and I enjoyed that. I got to watch it online this week, and I just want to compliment and say, you know, the Bible says give honor, you know, and I do. I just am so grateful that I am married to such an intelligent and excellent, faithful leader. She really is all those things. And if you knew who she was on the other side, you would know that she is excellent in everything she puts her hands to do. And she lives this vessel of honor message. She drives and pushes in a good way to be as excellent in every way as possible. And I am blessed to be married to such an intelligent, wonderful leader. So I just want to let you know that. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in this idea of vessels of honor, where we're going with this, is that God wants to use our lives to do significant things. How many of you have a heart or a desire to be used by God in a significant way before you die and meet Him one day? Anybody? That's what this series is really about. It's a series, it's a grace series. Anytime God talks to you about change and talks to you about moving to another level, He's going to need you to leave some things behind in the last season or in the last lifestyle you were living in, because He's got a higher version for you. Does that make sense? But God never tells you to leave something without saying, I'm going to give you the want to, I'm going to give you the power to leave it, and I'm giving you something better in the future. And so when we're talking about vessels of honor, and we're talking about leaving some of these carnal ways or immature ways, it's time to grow up in Jesus. We want to be used by God for great things, and God's going to be bringing some greatness. He needs to bring some greatness out of us, but it's going to also involve us doing some things. You know, sometimes we forget that God has a will for our lives, but we have a part to play in seeing that will come to pass. God can brag on us, and we can tell you about God's dream for your life and God's vision for your life, and He's got so many good things for you, but there is a partnership here. There is an accepting on your part, and there's an obeying on our part to do what we need to do in order to keep ourselves on the path that God has all these good things for our lives. You know, you can't just sit on the couch and get to Toledo. I don't know why I said Toledo. It just came to mind. You're going to have to do some things to get there. Amen. You're going to have to get up and take some steps and drive somewhere or do something. And the same thing's true. God wants you to live an honorable life, because He's got great ideas. I believe for every person, God has great vision for their life. Doesn't matter if they're a pastor in the natural, you're all pastoring someone. You are all ministers in this world. You all have congregations, whether you know it or see it or not. And God wants you to be excellent at it, and He's got dreams for you, and there's no limit to whether you can be this or not. It's not that God selects a few people to be honorable and other people, you know, no, you're not going to be. He gives you the ability to make that decision. We actually see that here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. You'll see that Paul is the one writing this letter to Timothy. He's training him as a leader, as a pastor, to lead a congregation. And in it, he's teaching him about a large house. We'll read here. Verse 20. Now in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware, some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, which previously noted before this passage was talking about wickedness, anyone who cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. In that verse, I see a couple thoughts. I see the ability to choose. See, it's not that in this great house, now we're in this wonderful large house, we're in this great house of the family of God, but in this house, there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. There are vessels of honor, which I believe are vessels that are used for special, significant ministry and purpose. They carry precious messages. They carry precious talents and gifts and anointings to change and transform this world. And then there's dishonorable vessels. Let's replace the word dishonor, because sometimes when the Bible uses comparison words, our language doesn't create sometimes the image. Let's say there are vessels that are used for things that are precious and excellent and honorable. And then in this house, there's also these just average vessels, common vessels. You know, I see that sometimes in the body of Christ, where there are those that have a desire to be used by God in an excellent way, and then there's those who just kind of want to not go to hell. Are you understanding? They just don't want to be crispy critters for eternity. But the vision for their life really is in their hands. See, this verse talking about choice. You have a choice to be just average and common, or you have a choice to set aside some things and to choose some great things and to be great. We as Americans like choice. How many of you like choice? Anybody like choice? I like choice. We have 700 channels on television and nothing to watch. We love choice. We love going to buffets, because who wants just one item on the menu when you can have Italian, Chinese, steak, salad? You understand what I'm saying? Give me choice. We don't just want one flavor of ice cream. We got stores that have 31 flavors of ice cream. I'm just waiting for someone with 32 flavors to come out. You know what I mean? Let's push this thing forward, people. Come on. If we can put a man on the moon, we can think of 32 flavors of ice cream. Come on. Thank you for laughing at that, Sheree. We appreciate that. We like choice. We have so much choice. Sometimes, especially when it comes to food, I have choice anxiety occasionally. Do you ever sit down at a restaurant and you just can't figure out what you want to eat? Now, maybe you don't deal with it emotionally like I do, but I actually sometimes will be overwhelmed by the amount of choices, and I get to a place where I don't know what to choose, because if I choose the wrong thing, my whole night's going to be ruined. That's an Italian trait, you know what I think? Or maybe some of you have the same thing, but we have more of a relationship with food maybe than you do. And at the end of the night, I'm still thinking, I shouldn't have ordered the chicken. I should have had the steak. You know, you're laying in bed. Maria's gazing into your eyes. Hey, not your eyes, my eyes. You know what I'm saying? She's like, what are you thinking about? Oh, I should have had the steak. Really? That was like 6 hours ago. It's food anxiety. It's choice anxiety. That's why drive-thrus in me don't work a whole really well, because there's all this pressure. Because in a drive-thru, you've got this line of people behind you, and you just think that they're just bearing down on you, like, make up your mind. And you're sitting here going, you don't know what I'm going through right now. Chicken nuggets, burger, burrito, pizza, what do I want? And then, somehow we have all these children now. And they're all in there. And none of them can make up their mind either. They're all like me. And they're like, well, what's on the menu? I'm like, And now you can't get like frustrated in the van, because now they have these menus where they're watching you with video cameras. You know what I mean? Like before, you could roll up the window and you could be like, "Would you make up your mind?" You know, now they just watch you going, and then you roll the window down. Yes, we'll have a Coke and a cheeseburger, some nuggets. Choice anxiety. Too many choices. But this power of choice, I want to talk to you about that with the vessel of honor. You have a choice to make. And I asked you in the beginning to raise your hand if you want to be used by God in excellent ways. And so many of you raised your hand. Like the Apostle Paul, where he says, I forget those things that are behind me, and I press towards the high calling on my life. You know, I hope in America today there are still people, and I believe we have them here at Life Church, but I speak this into your life. You have the power to choose, but you have to have the want to be a vessel of honor. You have to have the passion in your own life, the vision in your own life to say, you know what? I could live common and maybe just get to heaven by the skin of my teeth, but who wants to live that way? You know, sometimes you hear messages on grace and it's all about just getting to heaven rather than making an impact while you have life in your breath and in your lungs. And so I want to encourage us, being vessels of honor, vessels that are good and ready to carry useful work for the master, you have a huge part to play in choosing that, to saying, I want to live an excellent life. I want to live an impactful life. I want to get rid of common things, lower living things, previous attitudes and actions that I used to live like. And here's the cool part. You know what the gospel is? The gospel in the message of Jesus Christ, in the message of forgiveness, is underlying is this power to make that choice. There's a power to say, I don't want to live according to my old sinful nature anymore. You know, before Jesus, you didn't have that choice, but now you have that choice. Because sin no longer has dominion and authority over you. You can say no to sinful passions and lusts. Before, you only had a fallen nature, but now you're a partaker of a divine nature. You have a power to choose. What will you do with it? So you can't make an excuse anymore and saying, oh, I couldn't help myself. Yes, you can. And not only can you do it, but the greater one is on the inside of you to help you do it. The question is, will you choose to make the right choice? Because you are more than able to choose righteousness and goodness and love and holiness and honorable living. You are more than able to make those choices. But God can't make those choices for you. See, in the great house, there's vessels of honor, and it's not like we sit back and say, oh, I wish I was a vessel of honor. Then be one! Amen! God's got a great task. Now, you being used by God in the Master's hands and doing great things, please don't put some earthly vision of what that is, because sometimes we think, oh, being a vessel of honor means like being a Billy Graham, where a million people will stand in front of you at a service someday. Do you understand? That's Billy Graham's call, but that doesn't mean that that's the only way to be a vessel of honor. All of you have congregations, like I said earlier. All of you have places of influence that are going to shape eternity for somebody. It could be you being a vessel of honor, sitting on a bus somewhere, talking to somebody next to you because you obeyed God and did what the Lord told you to do, just in loving that person, not knowing that person was going to go home and commit suicide, but you saved them from doing that, and in saving them from doing that, you don't realize that you now save not only them, but maybe they were going to have a family someday, and they wouldn't have had that family because they would have ended their life too early, but now that family's alive, and now there's a generations and generations that are alive because you were a vessel of honor riding on a bus obeying God. Are you understanding how that works? So don't shrink what a vessel of honor is down to some little thought of what you think it is. It's just saying, Lord, I'm in your hands. I am clean. I've cleansed myself of these earthly passions and things and these distractions so that I could be ready and I can hear you at any given moment so you could fill me with divine, excellent assignments. And God, basically, it's that God trusts you because you've been trustworthy. Amen? Let's keep going on this. The idea of choice and the idea of making the right decisions. You know, even in this Timothy passage in verse 19 and verse 22, which is before and after the whole concept of vessels of honor, you see it wrapped up in choices. You know, if you go back to your 2 Timothy here, chapter 2, verse 19 starts here. It says, Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord abstains from wickedness. And then it says, now in a large house. So you see, that choice to abstain from wickedness is part of this conversation of you can be a vessel of honor. In a large house, there's common vessels and there's these vessels of honor. Choose to be a vessel of honor. And then you go to verse 22, which is right after the conversation of being a vessel of honor and choosing. And it says, verse 22, now flee youthful lusts. Why? Why flee youthful lusts? Because I want to be a vessel of honor. That's why. You know, not just get to heaven, not just do the bare minimum, but because I want to be something and do something great. You realize greatness is on the inside of you because the Spirit of God is on the inside of you. The vision of God is on the inside of you. You can be as great as you let God be on the inside of you. You can be as impactful, you can be as meaningful to this world, and stop telling yourself that you're too old or you missed your chance. If you say yes today, God can do more the next 30 minutes of your life than the 90 years you wasted. Are you hearing me today? God knows how to get stuff done. God knows how to redeem time. God knows how to fix things. But you must get into a position where you finally get a vision for yourself, a vision for who you want to be. When I was a kid growing up, there was a band called Switchfoot. Anyone ever heard of Switchfoot? All right, look at all you rockers out there. Yeah. Woo! Anyways, Switchfoot. They had a song called This Is Your Life, Are You Who You Want to Be? And that's the statement that kind of kept resonating in my heart as we talk about this vessel of honor. God's given you this new life. God has given you a new beginning. God has given you potential that is unlimited because the potential on the inside of you is what God can imagine, even more than what you can imagine. Are you understanding that? But now you have a choice. The choice is yours. Are you going to be and allow God to bring his vision through your life? Because if you put your feet in the ground and you say, I'm not doing anything, I just want to get to heaven, I'm not going to try harder, I'm not going to lay aside childish things, I'm not going to flee youthful lusts, I'm not going to fix some of these areas in my life that the Holy Spirit's dealing with me on, you realize you're becoming what you decide to become. And you're becoming the version and the shrunken version of a Christian. And it's nothing what God created, it's what you're creating. Are you understanding this? This is your Christian life. Is it becoming what you want it to become? Have you even thought about what you want to become? Have you even taken time to not just string a bunch of days together? That's one of the tricks of the enemy. Just get us so busy that years go by and we've placed no thought into who we're becoming. And so I'm trying to help you get a vision today. Let's become vessels of honor. You have the potential because you have the Spirit and you have the Word. You have all the resources to become. But you have to have a vision for you. You have to have a vision for you. Sometimes you think, oh, I'm always going to be an angry person. That's your choice. It's not because God didn't pay and provide for you to break through that anger. Are you understanding? I'm always going to be this. I'm always going to be that. That's your limitations on you, not God's limitations on you. You can be a vessel of honor. You can be filled with the anointing of God. You can be filled with sacred purposes and plans. You can accomplish great things in every neighborhood, every season, every age group, every nationality. Stop putting limits, looking on the outward appearance. God knows what he's placed on the inside. But you have to make some choices and partner with God to get there. But have a vision for who you want to be. It's your life. And if you're not who you want to be, then change. Don't you love responsibility messages? Isn't that great? Thank you, Pastor, for giving me responsibility. You're welcome. Vessels of honor. Choice. Now, there's one choice that trumps all other choices. And it's the choice to make Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, and King of your life and heart. You say, Pastor, that's an obvious choice. Why are we going there? Because sometimes, even in Christianity, I wonder if we've really given Jesus the driver's seat of our life. See, here's the deal. If Jesus is on the throne of my heart, if I've really said, be my Lord, be my God, then all these other choices really seem to be no-brainers. Because Jesus, you're the boss, I'm not the boss. You see, when you added Jesus into your life, you didn't just add morality into your life. You made a decision. You made it a conscious choice to say, I'm not the God of my life, and neither is the devil. You be the God of my life. Your voice speaks louder than all. Your thoughts, your ways, your opinions, your direction for my life, that's the key. And so whatever you say goes. There's this one choice that sometimes we struggle with, all these minor choices. Should I forgive that person? Did you make the greater choice that Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Yes, I did. What does Jesus say about that person? Jesus says, forgive. There's no choice here, is there? Are you hearing what I'm saying? You don't have a choice to keep anger and offense and bitterness when you've made the choice to say, Jesus, you're the King of my life. You got to make that one choice. Jesus says, I want you to share your faith with your neighbor. I want you to tell them the testimony of what I've been doing in your life. And you sit there and debate, should I share, should I not share? Did you make the choice to make him king? If you did, his ways are not our ways, his ways are better than our ways, and you obey. Are you hearing me? Should I help that missionary. You know, there's opportunities for us to use our finances for the kingdom of God, planting churches, helping missionaries, establishing orphanages, doing outreaches and things like that. And you think, what do I do? Do I want to do this with my money? Do I not want to do this with my money? It's not your money. It's his. All of us are subjected to that. You understand? And it's not a choice to be made. It's like, Lord, when he prompts your heart and says, sponsor that missionary, you don't argue with him. You sponsor. And then he's got to provide. He's the king, right? He's got to provide the means. But so many times we wrestle because we've not made the one choice. Jesus, you're the Lord and Savior of my life. We've added him in as fire insurance to not go to hell, but that's not what Jesus told us to do. You have to make him the Lord and Savior of your life, your sexuality as well. You don't have a decision to make on how you use your body sexually. It's his decision. He's the creator. He's the king. What he says goes. Amen. It's not your opinion. I've made a choice. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. You know, things get hard. You suffer loss. You suffer disappointment. People die before you wanted them to. You lose jobs. And people are still wondering, am I going to serve Jesus today? You already made that choice. And you died to yourself. It is no longer you who lives. It is Christ who lives in you. So you don't wake up every day wondering whether or not you're going to serve Jesus. You're going to say, whatever comes my way today, I'm going to serve the Lord, and he's going to get me through, and he's going to make my life a vessel of honor. And no matter what comes my way, he's working all things together for my good, for those who love him. But I don't wake up every day wondering if I'm going to serve Jesus. I decided that. A double-minded person is unstable in all your ways. A vessel of honor decides that. The reason we're still dealing with wickedness and youthful lust and we're letting those things creep in, offense, unforgiveness, unrighteousness, is because of this one choice to make Jesus the central ruler and leader of your life. You are able to do that. You are able to make that choice. Amen. You know, Joshua speaks of this. Book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 15. He says this, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, so the people were having issues wondering whether or not they wanted to serve the Lord. He says, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. No matter what the battles, no matter what the mountains, no matter what the valleys, we made a choice. And I love that it says, choose you for yourselves. Nobody can make that choice for you. I can't make that choice. You wouldn't want me to because that's not your choice. This is your choice. But I love it where it says, choose you for yourself this day who you'll serve. What I like about that is this. It's like, choose today once and for all. Maybe that's you today. Maybe that's you on the internet right now. You want to be a vessel of honor? I'll tell you the biggest key to being a vessel of honor. Choose you today who you're going to serve. If you're going to serve God, then serve him. If you're not going to serve God, then don't. But don't play games and say, oh, I'm going to serve God when it's convenient, and I'm going to serve myself when it's not. It doesn't work. Things don't work when they're out of order. And so then Christianity is miserable to you because you're not doing it right. It's not because Christianity is not capable. It's because you're doing a shrunk, broken version of Christianity. Are you understanding that? But do it the way God designed it. Choose you. Make a choice. And then when temptation comes your way, those old addictions, those old patterns, you go back and say, I decided to follow Jesus. This is no longer even a choice. For me, this isn't an option for me anymore. That old way, that old lifestyle. Amen? Choose you this day. You can do that today. By the end of this service, choose you this day, once and for all, of all days, whom you will serve. And so if great success happens in the next year, praise God, you lived for Jesus. But if something disappointing happens, you still live for Jesus. And God somehow will work those things around. And you trust the Lord that you've put your hand into. Or sorry, the Lord that you put your heart into his hand. Amen? Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Every choice has a cost. Every choice has a cost to it. You know, you like to say, oh, I'm just going to make a choice and I just want to get the benefits of that choice. Every choice has a cost to it. The Bible tells us to pay attention to those costs. But here's the deal. Once choice is presented to you, there's no such thing as neutral. Once choice is presented to you, there is no such thing as going back to the way things were. today I've presented to you to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. You have a choice, and there's a cost to that choice, but I'll tell you what, you don't have the option of going back before the choice was given to you, because in saying no to that choice, you've still changed. Do you understand what I just said? When choice is presented, there's a cost to accept the choice, but there's also a cost to deny the choice. Amen. Let's keep going on this. I'll teach a little bit more about this. I think it'll expand it better for you. But you need to understand there's cost when it comes to choice. Luke chapter 14, verses 27 through 30. New Living Bible says something like this. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. There's a cost to following Jesus. But don't begin until you've counted the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, there's the person who started the building, and they couldn't finish it or afford to finish it. There's always a cost to choice. And Jesus is saying, count the cost. You know, in that phrase, take up your cross and follow me, what I see is the cross. Sometimes, you know, you don't interpret that. People hear that. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. What does that mean? That doesn't mean take a wooden cross and start walking around McChesney Park and Rockford and Roscoe with this wooden cross on your back. It says you have to make this decision to take that cross, this cross, and follow me. My definition, and I'm telling you flat out, this is my definition of what it means to take up your cross. It means this. It's the place where your will and God's will cross, and you take his will. Where it's not my will, but your will be done. And that's taking up your cross. I don't want to let that person go who hurt me, but I'll do it. You just took up your cross and followed Jesus. You paid the price. Are you understanding what that means? See, it's where your will and his will crosses. And guess what? It's going to happen. Your will and his will are going to conflict sometimes. But you made a decision that his will wins. Isn't that what Jesus said at the garden? He said, you know, Lord, is there a way this cup can pass from me? Nevertheless, it's not my will, but your will be done. And he did take up a physical cross. I'm telling you, the choice to live for God, to be a vessel of honor, to make the right decisions, whether you agree with it, whether you think that's the way to go or not, it doesn't really matter because you're taking up your cross. And his will wins. He says to give your tithes and offerings. He says to give your worship. He says to preach the gospel and make disciples. He says be filled with the Holy Spirit. He says lay hands on the sick. His will wins. Amen. And your will and his will cross. But to be a follower of Jesus and to be a vessel of honor, his will wins. But I want you to be conscious about the choice you have and the cost to that choice. I would love to just tell you about all the benefits of grace and all the benefits of eternity, and they are all there. But there's still a cost on your side. There are still steps you must take. There's still effort you must put in. Amen? Amen. I've decided. Now, I don't believe carrying your cross. Just real quick clarification. You can disagree with me in this, what I'm about to say. I agree with myself on this, but you don't have to agree with me on this. There have been people who say things like when something bad happens to you, a person you love dies, you lost a job, something bad just happens in life. You're like, well, just take up your cross and follow Jesus. I don't believe that's a great picture of taking up your cross because I see taking up your cross as something that I have to choose. And I didn't choose for my family member to die. And I didn't choose for my job to be taken away from me. And I didn't choose for just bad things to happen. In every life, everybody's life, bad things are going to happen. But I really believe the context of taking up your cross has to do with you choosing. Choosing to do God's will over your own. Choosing to say yes to Jesus and no to yourself, to your nature, to your fallenness, to your past, to who you used to be, and saying yes to the things of God. My opinion on what it means to take up your cross. But that gives you a good definition to know, are you really taking up your cross? Whenever the Holy Spirit starts to confront you on things, do you say yes to the Holy Spirit or do you say, no, I'm going to stay the same? You're not taking up your cross at that point. Thank you for the thunderous amens. There's a cost to change, but I also want to talk to you that there's a cost to stay the same. There's a cost to change, but there's also a cost to stay the same. Remember what I said, when you're presented choice, there's no option of staying neutral. You're either going to make the choice to change, or you're going to make a choice to stay the same. But at that moment, something's changed. There's a cost to either one. Let's look at it in the natural. Maybe the Lord's dealing with you in your vision for your life to get your education, further your education. And there's a cost to that change, right? There's financial cost to that change. There's time. There's effort. There's staying up late doing papers. There's even sacrifice of family time because you're trying to further your education because the Lord's dealing with you to get the education completed. Because that change in the vessel of honor and what God has for you, there are opportunities linked to you in the future, but you have to get the education so that you can be ready and qualified to do that vision, that assignment that God has for you. Here's what's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to do that assignment without the education. Does that make sense? And so there's a cost to change. But if you make a decision and say, I'm not willing to pay that price, I'm not willing to spend the money, I'm not willing to expend the extra time or to stay up late, my sleep's too important to me, or whatever, I'm not going to pay that price to educate myself. I have spent something. Something's still costing me to stay the same. You're losing the cost is that preferred future that God had for you. Do you see that? There is a cost to change, but there's a cost to stay the same. There's a cost because once you're presented with choice, neutral is not an option. Are you understanding? And you've chosen laziness, or you've chosen fear of finance, or you've chosen whatever, comfort. And in choosing that, you've changed. But not this direction, you've changed another direction. Amen? Same thing can happen in spiritual dynamics or family dynamics. God can tell you to forgive. God can tell you to go and apologize. And it's going to cost you something of humbling yourself and acknowledging that you've sinned, but there's a preferred future that God has for you, or restored relationships, or building you up in your character and trusting you with greater influence because you're trustworthy, because you're able to say you're sorry, you're able to repent of things. But you have a choice. You can either make those cost to pay that cost to change, or you can say, I'm not going to forgive. I don't believe that I need to do that. I'm going to stay the same. You're not staying the same. Because you've hardened your heart towards the Spirit of God who is convicting you and challenging you to let those things go to give you a preferred future. And you didn't realize it, but you actually told the Spirit of God, no, guess what? You've still changed. You're not the same person you were before you told God no. Does that make sense? Staying the same really isn't even possible once choice is presented. Because if you make the right choice, you change towards the right way. If you make the wrong choice, you change in the opposite direction. But staying the same isn't an option. Choices, choices, choices. Our life is filled with choices and what we do with those choices. There's a cost to every choice, every decision. You know, I love this church. I love you. I love the move of God. And you have the power to make choices that shape your future, that shape your family, that shape everything. Be wise. I've sat in offices before pleading with a husband. Don't do this. Don't do this to your family. Don't do this to your kids. Don't do this to your wife. Don't leave. Don't walk out on your kids like your dad walked out on you. I've sat in this room before, and you told me how your dad walked out on you, and he wasn't there when he promised to come pick you up on the weekends, and you sat there with your coat on and your suitcase waiting for dad to come get you. And he never came. Don't put your kids through this. Repent of your lust. Repent of your sin. Go back to your wife. Go back to your kids. Change. And they leave my office saying, yes, pastor, only 2 days later to walk out on their wives and do the exact same thing to their kids. You did that. Your choices did that. Are you understanding me? I love you. You know I love you. I tell you I love you all the time. Kiss, kiss, mwah, mwah. But you got choices to make, people. You can be a vessel of honor. Don't tell me that lust is greater than God's Spirit on the inside of you to help you make the right changes. That's a lie. You're believing it. It's a lie. This isn't a shame message. I'm trying to save you and save your kids and save your future. Change. Make the changes. Repent to your spouse. Repent to your... But you say, she's not perfect. Neither are you. But do what you can do on your side. If they don't change, then they're going to have to pay the cost of that. But you can change. Let me tell you, you have no option of staying the same, because the moment you say, no, I'm leaving, you've changed. And you will pay the price, not just of the preferred future you could have had, but you also pay the price because sin always costs something, and it costs more than you think it's going to cost. You're going to pay a price either way. You might as well pay the price to get the vision of God for your life. Because the vision of God for your life adds no sorrow to it. Amen. But sin's vision for your life is stealing, killing, and destroying. And again, it goes all the way back to the one decision: I made Jesus the Lord of my life. Amen. I made Jesus the Lord of my life. And so what he says goes. Change. Yes, it's hard. There's cost to change. But you can do it because God helps you both to will and to do his good pleasure. But there's always price when it comes to change. Fear has a cost. Fear has a cost. Fear of change and not doing what God's telling you to do has a cost. You know, I think about a few days ago, I was having a conversation with my father-in-law, and we were just talking about the Israelites wandering in the desert. You know, they didn't have to wander in that desert. They were supposed to go from Egypt to their promised land, and because of fear, they wandered in a desert for 40 years. That fear cost them 40 years of living in their promised land, because they saw giants, and they saw cities, and they saw impossibilities, yet God's vision for their vessel of honor was that they were more than able to take out those giants in those cities. And so not only do I want to talk about sin in this, but some of you, God has talked to you about vision for your life, starting a ministry, writing a book, going back to school, opening 5 more businesses, whatever it might be, but because of the economy or because of the structure that's going on around you, fear is keeping you from obeying God, who's trying to use you as a vessel of honor. Are you understanding this? And fear will cost you something. Fear will cost you the preferred future that God's been talking to you about, the promised land, in this time, in this season, because your analytical mind is getting in the way. But remember, you surrendered the trust part to Jesus. So if God is saying, sow in a time of famine, you sow. If God is saying, build in this environment, you build. If God is saying, start now, you don't say, God, I'll start when the kids are older, or I'll start when life slows down. You start when the master says start, and you pay the price to change, and you get the vision that God has for you as a vessel of honor. But fear will keep you. It does cost you something. It does cost you. There's times and seasons that if you miss that time and season, you don't stay the same. You now live in a timeline where that season is past. And so things have changed. Fear has a cost. Quitting has a cost. You don't get the vision because you quit halfway. I love the Disney Channel. We said that recently. Everybody gets a blue ribbon. But if you quit the race, you don't get the prize. It's just the way it works. Quitting has a cost. Laziness has a cost. A couple examples of people who had to change in the Bible, and we'll close. Abraham. God called Abraham, he was Abram, told him to leave his family, what was familiar to him, his family gods, his family traditions, his past, probably what he had confidence in, stability. God told Abraham, he said, go to a land I will show you. Basically, start changing. And I'm going to build a nation out of you. And I'm going to do great things with your life. But Abraham had to what? Change. And there was a cost. The cost of leaving the familiar. The cost of the ridicule of his family saying, what are you doing? What are you thinking? What are you just hearing voices and now you're wandering around? There is a cost. But Abraham left. And the change he made created Israel, which then brought in Jesus, which then has saved all of humanity. Aren't you glad Abraham made the choice? Amen. All the disciples, when Jesus said, come follow me, they had a choice to stay with their father's business, to stay with their nets, to stay as fishermen, or to change and to leave those familiar things, to leave those occupations behind, to, yes, suffer ridicule. There's cost. To suffer questioning, to suffer the unknown. What's going to happen to us? Where's our future going? To follow this wandering rabbi. But they had to make the change. In making the change, they became the disciples and the apostles that God would build the church on. Last example, and then I'll close. Young man, we call him the rich young ruler. We don't even know his name. Rich young ruler. Came to Jesus, talked about how do I get into the kingdom of God. He said, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. And Jesus looks at him and says, there's one thing that you need to do. Sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. Now, you need to realize something about that offer. Jesus didn't make that offer to everybody. You know, he had masses and masses of people that he would preach to and he would heal them and deliver them. But very few did he say, come and be one of my disciples. Come and be one of my followers. Who knows what Jesus had envisioned for that rich young ruler? He could have been a 13th apostle. He could have been the replacement for Judas Iscariot after he fell. You understand? This guy, Jesus had a vision for him and said, go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, come follow me, be my disciple, and we're going to see what that vision is. We saw what God did, what Jesus did with Peter. We saw what Jesus did with John the Beloved. We see what God did through all the other disciples. God had great things. They changed the world in great ways. But the Bible says this rich young ruler refused to make that change. He didn't want to pay the cost of that choice. And so he left. And the Bible says this, that he went away sad and sorrowful. See, because the truth is, he didn't stay the same. He wasn't willing to pay that price. But guess what? That rich young ruler paid a greater price than he probably ever imagined because he said no to what the Lord was telling him to do. Are you understanding this? And he changed and he wept in bitterness because he resisted the change that God was talking to him about. Everybody, I've messed you up really good today because you don't have the option of going back the same way you came. Because you're being presented with choice. And when you're presented with choice, you don't have the option to stay the same. You're either going to change towards what God's doing, or you're going to say no. In either way, you're going to pay a price. In either way, you're going to change. And so today, you have options to make. Will you make Jesus the Lord and Savior and central figure of your life or not? Will you pursue God's preferred future for you and be vessels of honor, or will you just stay the same? But you won't stay the same. You will change. And things will get different because you're hardening your heart towards the things of God. On that happy note, why don't you go ahead and stand? Let me pray this because it's significant into your life. And again, you know that we love you. We love you all the time. And these are messages of love. These aren't messages of guilt here, people. These aren't messages of shame. These are messages to say, guys, we can get better. We can say no to that old lifestyle. Living with double-mindedness, living saying no to God isn't living. And I'm talking to Christians. I'm not even talking to those who aren't even serving the Lord. There are Christians that still, week after week, live double-minded of whether or not God is the God of their life or not. I'm telling you, you have a miserable version of Christianity. You have to make the one choice to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And whatever he says goes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, we come before you. We thank you for your love for us. We know that all of your thoughts towards us are good. We know that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. And Lord, we know that even talking to us about fleeing youthful lusts and running away from wickedness and all that stuff, it's all about you loving us because you have a greater vision for our lives than the devil does and than sin does. The vision you have for our lives is one of long life and fruitfulness and making impact and increase and living on into eternal life. Father, we thank you for how much you love us. And you don't just tell us to go fix our own world. You help us fix it. But God, today I ask that you would put your finger on each of our hearts and tell us tell us, first of all, talk to us if we've not made you the Lord of our lives, if we've been playing games with Jesus. If that's the case, Lord, we're going to be much happier once we finally sell out and give this whole thing over to you. I pray today we'd make that decision. Lord, for others in this room, you've been talking to them about dreams, and you've been talking to them about goals, and you've been talking to them about change and effort. And Lord, I pray today you would breathe the gift of faith into them to make the steps they need to make to start walking towards that change and transformation. That Lord, yeah, there's a price. Yes, there's a cost, and we take time to see it. But Lord, we know with you we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So Lord, I pray faith into people that you've been talking to about making changes towards their vessel of honor future, the things you have for them to do. I bless this house. I bless your work and what you're doing right now. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody say, before I dismiss, I must give you opportunity to give your whole heart to God. We say it every week that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Look, everybody, nobody's criticizing anybody here. Nobody's pointing fingers saying, what are you thinking? We've all been there. We all continually still get tempted to go back to those places sometimes. But we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior. The wages of that sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. The Bible goes on to say that all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so today, choose you this day, please, and make it once and for all. I will serve the Lord. If you've never made that decision, you can make it in the next 30 seconds. If maybe you've been playing games and today you're like, I am done playing games, I will serve the Lord, then let today be that day for you. And pray that prayer with us when we pray. Can I get everybody to bow your heads, close your eyes for the next 30 seconds? If that's you, and you say, Pastor Kevin, I've either never given my life to the Lord, or as of today, I make him the Lord, and I stop battling that battle, and I surrender all. If either of those things, you've never prayed for him to be your Lord, or today you're saying, I'm going to stop that battle, and I'm giving my life to God. If that's you today, and you want to pray that prayer, I'm not going to call you to the front. I want to pray with you right at your seat. But would you please be brave enough right now to lift your hand and acknowledge that you want to make that decision? There's a hand over there. Anybody else? There's a hand in the middle, a hand in the back. Anybody else? There's a hand over there, another hand over there. Anybody else? Put them up. Another hand over there. Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else? I'm done. I'm done with the double-minded. There's another hand there. Awesome. Anyone else? I'm done. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord from this day forward. All right, let's all pray a prayer together. Would you please? They're not praying by themselves. Dear God, I thank you that you see me just as I am. I realize I've sinned and I walked away from you. I receive Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died for me and that he rose again. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Be my God. From this day forward, thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you celebrate that? Amen. I need the altar teams to come to the front. If you prayed that prayer today and you'd like some help with that, on your way out, right behind our video cameras, we have a New Beginnings area. We have Bibles there and volunteers that'll be there to pray with you or help you any way we can to plug you in. I just encourage you today, guys, that God has dreams for your life. God has vision for your life. Don't let the devil steal it. Don't let fear steal it. Don't let laziness steal it. Say yes. Amen. Amen. Let me pray and dismiss you. On your way out, don't forget to sign up for the women's conference. This is going to be a powerful week, ladies. Dr. Leaf will be with us throughout the weekend, next weekend. But again, that entire conference is being designed to transform your life and your family members' life. So bring them. Heavenly Father, I bless this house as they go. I thank you for your future that you see over our lives. We say yes, Lord Jesus. We trust you. We thank you. And God, I pray that your Holy Spirit on the inside of us gives us the power and the ability to do what it is you're calling us to do. We give you thanks that we don't serve you without you, but we serve you with your help to do it. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.